Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Getting proper mental health care can help you feel more like you. That's why Cerebral offers convenient access to online mental health services, including therapy and medication management. Cerebral's diverse clinician team can help with anxiety, insomnia, relationship issues, workplace stress, and more. You can schedule and communicate with your care team through Cerebral's mobile app and attend your sessions from the comfort of your own home. Get started with or without insurance. Plus, you can use your FSA or HSA. Start your first month for 50% off at Cerebral.com/ACAST.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
What do you do when no one else is watching? What do you do that makes you happy for no reason at all? What are you obsessed with? I'm Leslie Arfin, and I'm a writer, but I'm also a dancer, a painter, a vapor, a dollhouse enthusiast, and basically just an overall hobbyist. My podcast, Filling the Void, is all about what other people are fanatically into. We talk about hobbies, even if you don't have one.
Listen to Filling the Void on Tuesdays on the Irios Network and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
ACAST helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. ACAST.com.
Hello. Before we get to our festive episode today, I just wanted to remind you all that if you subscribe to our Patreon before the end of November for $2 or $3 a month to get access to dozens of retro movie reviews and TV reviews, 100% of your December fee will go to Action for Children, which is a wonderful charity. So head on over to patreon.com/thecinemile to check that out. And secondly, I wanted to give a shout out to a new podcast that's being launched by a friend of this podcast, Helen O'Hara, who a lot of you will know from Empire Magazine. And it's called Bah Humbug. And it's a wonderful podcast that's going to examine both new Christmas movies and old. I think you guys would all really like it. So head over, subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts, and enjoy the episode. Bye.
Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
This is The Cinemile, the podcast where we used to walk home from the movies when there were cinemas open.
And now we're walking to the square.
The Christmas square.
The Christmas square.
Is that what this movie's called?
It's called Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square.
Christmas on the Square?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's not Christmas Square?
No.
Right, it's not like a themed...
No.
Right, so you take it away, Kathy, because I don't know what this is or what the hell we're doing here.
So, Dolly Parton has written all the music for this film and is the star of it, along with Christine Bransky. And it's based on a stage play, I believe. And it's a Christmas film, I think, with kind of, I'm guessing, bits of It's a Wonderful Life from the few clips I saw in the trailer. And it looks like an absolute cheese fest.
Are we allowed to say...
I mean, we saw a little bit of the trailer.
She's an angel, right?
I believe so, yes. Which seems perfectly in line with Dolly.
With that. I'm actually great. I'm good with this.
Yeah, and
we're good with Dolly Parton playing an angel.
Big Dolly Parton fans in this podcast.
She's
awesome. I indoctrinated
awesome.
Dave this summer. We were driving to Wales for a wonderful staycation. And we listened to the whole of Dolly Parton's America, which is this amazing podcast that I recommend to everyone.
Great podcast.
It's like, it's not just a podcast about Dolly Parton, and she's in it, but she doesn't make it. And it takes you off in very unusual tangents, and it's fascinating insight into her, amongst lots of other things.
It's made by NPR and the team that made Radiolab, I believe, which is another awesome podcast. And I highly recommend that as a listen, because yeah, like Kathy said, it's not just a profile of Dolly Parton. It is that, but it's also just like what Dolly Parton represents to modern America,
and that she's very like the idea behind the podcast is that like she's so undivisive, like everybody loves Dolly, yeah. Like from so all walks like of life, all ages, all hard, like races,
hardcore right wing Christians and like liberal like gay people. It's like the people, the whole thing is about like at a Dolly Parton concert, you've got all of these people sitting together. It's just she brings people together and fundamentally avoids conflict and promotes forgiveness.
And people try and like criticize her, for example, saying like she didn't take a stance against Trump or whatever, but she just absolutely refuses to engage with any controversy. It's quite interesting.
But she won't pick a side either. And it's that you can be criticized for that. But if anything, she seems to be like bringing people together with her music. So I have a lot of time
she's
for her.
She's an interesting woman. And I mean, as a songwriter, she's an incredible songwriter.
Yeah.
So I've really high hopes for this movie. But from the trailer I saw, it's like, it was more like before I saw the trailer, I was like, this is going to be amazing. And then I saw the trailer and I'm like, I don't know what that is.
It's got Hallmark vibes.
So I think we need to just go and watch it. We're out for a walk now, but we're going to watch it this evening when the kids are in bed. We're going to have hot whiskies, mince pies. Like, I feel like it's the start of the festive season when you watch your first Christmas movie.
Yeah.
And I'm really hoping it's better than this time. I think it was last year when I went to my friend Graham to see
Last Christmas,
which was really bad. So I'm hoping it's better than Last Christmas.
Go, that's an episode if you want to go listen to that. I listened to it. I didn't see the movie, but I enjoyed listening to you guys talk about it.
But I'm so excited. I love Dolly. Saw her in concert a couple of years ago. She was amazing. It was such a good concert. Like, she's so talented. Yeah, so I'm really excited to see this movie.
All right.
And I feel we all need
Netflix,
a Dolly Parton movie, right?
Is this on Netflix?
It's on Netflix. Right. We all need a nice Dolly Parton Christmas movie, I think.
Yeah, I'm well
We've
primed
had a tough
for this.
Year.
Yeah. All right.
All right, come see on. You on the other
see
side.
See you in a bit.
Christmas is a time for caring, being at your best. Christmas is a time for sharing, knowing you've been blessed. There are the haves and the have-nots, and you could be either one.
Who are you?
Well, Angel.
What do you want from me?
Change.
What you're doing now is such a low blow. Demolishing the lives of all the people you know.
The deadline to be out of your homes is now Christmas Eve.
Gotta get out of this town.
Christmas on the square.
There's no reason to wait around.
Everybody's there.
I know in the time I'll lose my mind if I don't get out of this town.
Angels fly 'cause they take themselves lightly. Angels glow and they shine so brightly.
You find that light and it will lead you to the part of you you lost.
What might that be?
The part that can be happy.
Christmas is a time for caring, being at your best.
Christmas is a time for sharing, knowing you've been blessed.
Christmas is a time for angels, making things all right.
Oh, what joyful bliss, that's what Christmas is.
Christmas on the square.
Hi, we're back. We watched that movie last night. What was it called? The Christmas
Square? Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square.
Okay, that one.
Which doesn't have a great ring to it, I have to say, but I can see why
memorable, no.
They wanted to get her name into it, because let's face it, we wouldn't have watched it if her name wasn't attached.
Also, it's got very little to do with that square. Spoiler alert.
Well, the square is the heart of the town, and the town is the beating heart of this movie.
And it's the beating heart of Middle America. Should we give a quick synopsis? As always, no spoilers here until we turn onto spoiler section of this river that we're walking down at the moment. Kathy, why don't you give just sort of a quick one-sentence brief on what people can expect from this movie?
If you imagine
that I've already forgotten the title of again.
That Christine Baranski is, like, effectively Scrooge, and she's somehow owns the town. It seems to be... Okay, that's the case in Schitt's Creek as well. Is that a real thing in America that someone can own a town?
I'm very confused. Well, anyway. I guess it's like a real... it's like capitalism... to its most extreme in America, so I guess like you can buy towns.
One
on
person
the stock
owns the whole town and like every business and building within, and she inherited it from her dad. And she shows up on the 23rd of December and tells everyone effectively that they have to be evicted by Christmas Eve, the 24th.
Yeah,
of December.
It seems to be the next day. Like you've got till tomorrow to get out of your house.
And then, you know, basically we feel like she's a bit of a Scrooge character or maybe a Wicked Witch of the Middle. And then Dolly Parton shows up as an angel to change her mind. So there's a kind of a Christmas Carol meets It's a Wonderful Life. But it's a full-on musical. It's like dancing and singing at all times.
Not full-on musical as in Les Mis, where every word is sung. But it is...
It's huge.
It's a movie with like 12 plus musical numbers.
Song and dance. And all, you're like, God, the extras are all terrible actors. And then you're like, oh, wait, it's because they're all really good dancers. And it's hard to get those. Yeah.
Oh my God, it's so much fun watching the extras in this movie.
But yeah, honestly.
This is ham-tastic.
As we watched the movie, we kind of kept being like, what are we watching? And are we enjoying this? And then we both kept going, yeah, we're actually really enjoying it. It's really fun. And then and then you'd kind of, and more would happen, and you'd go, what are we watching? And are we enjoying this or not?
It's so
weird.
I did enjoy it.
I really enjoyed it.
I had
too.
Fun with it, but it's not by any traditional measurement of quality. It meets some of those bars, but mostly doesn't. But it doesn't seem to matter for some reason. Because
it's
just
a very wholesome vibe, right? Which is what we were expecting.
That's a nice way to put it. And I think to give you a sense,
and Dolly Parton is like a very Christian woman.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. This is a Christian movie through and through. Yeah. This is like card carrying, like God fearing. Like for instance, like most of the movie seems to be set in an actual church. One of the main characters is the pastor. His name is Pastor Christian. He's even called Christian.
But what that is,
it's all about God and angels.
Church is a house of God, so how can Christine Bransky own the church and evict a priest out of a church?
Well, I guess the churches need to rent the space. It's not like the Catholic Church, who just have owned most of property since the Middle Ages.
I guess.
I don't know.
Yeah, but, it's just like...
Like these towns are built. Like that town was built by Christine Bransky's father, right?
But then, right, her dad seemed to be this kind of...
benevolent sort
amazing
of,
kind of town god, right? And his motto was keep the rents low and the spirits high. Okay, then, but actually you're just a terrible capitalist, because what you should do if you want to run this amazing town where everyone's happy, give them their give them their own property. Why are you owning everyone's properties and keeping the rents low and the spirits high?
Yeah, nobody can buy themselves out. Everyone has to rent for the rest of their life.
Yeah, I really disliked it. It's like, you know, the old English landlords in Ireland back in the day. Like, so actually, he set it up so that when he did die and his daughter inherited, she could kick everyone out. They have no... Partly, they don't even have 24 hours notice in their leases. So, like, this shit is weird.
It is like so much of this movie is like... they present her as like a challenge, right? But actually, much of this I found like it's a dystopian nightmare.
Yeah.
Like, how is this actually the case in Middle America that this can happen? You can just be kicked out in a day of your entire town and have Cheetah Mall come in and build a mall where your entire town used to be.
That doesn't
seem like surely like the federal government should protect people at some sort of level.
But also, we're observing to ourselves that if you're going to build a big mall, what makes sense is to build it next to the prosperous town.
Yeah, where people can go and buy things in your mall. Like, who's visiting this mall where it once was a town?
If you've kicked everyone
out of
there.
You gotta drive an hour to get to this fucking mall with nothing in it.
We have to say, Christine Bransky is absolutely brilliant in her role. Like, she's so good.
She smashes it. She carries this movie, to be fair.
She's perfectly cast.
Very good. Yeah, so well cast. She's a great actress. Really, like, is giving it socks.
Yeah.
Like, she's...
really holds her own singing, as we knew from Mamma Mia anyway.
She veers perfectly between cold business ruthless warrior, which we kind of see from what The Good Fight, is it? And all those things. And also this sort of you know, the Mamma Mia vibe, the tender friend and all this. So she's wonderful and like really does carry the movie. Dolly, Dolly's very much just Dolly. She's not really acting.
At all times, like, you know, back in the 50s when they used to put like Vaseline over the lens to make movie stars look younger.
Yeah.
Like, she's got an Instagram filter on her for the entire movie.
Yeah.
She's got Vaseline on the lens. She's like,
much
makeup.
She's supposed to be an angel, so they have an excuse to bathe her in light at all times.
So enjoyable. Because at the very start of the movie, she's like dressed like a so-called beggar, and she's wearing, she's got a thing that says change, and we think initially she's looking for loose change, but no, she's actually begging Christine Bransky to change her wicked ways. But she's the most glam homeless person. She's basically wearing like a grey ball gown with the full face of makeup.
They just like put tattered gloves on her and thought that would be enough to complete the effect.
But she's so enjoyable, and it's like honestly notable to have a movie where the two leads are like women well past their 60s.
Yeah, true.
Very notable. Without it being a romantic movie or something like The Book Club or whatever. So very notable, and like the cast is like really varied. You've got people of like all body shapes, colour,
yeah, like
age.
That.
Really enjoy that. Like it, and you know, you said elements of it are dystopian, how they can all be kicked out, but elements of it are ridiculously utopian and lovely, of like how nice everyone in the town is, how they come together. We've got a little Tiny Tim character, the cutest little girl ever.
Yeah, she's awesome.
So if you like Scrooge and you like It's a Wonderful Life, like, and you like Dolly Parton, this is your movie. But at the same time, go in very much like in a good mood and like ready to have a bit of a laugh, because you can't take it too seriously.
It's sickly sweet. Like, yeah. You could...
There's one very dark storyline, though, which we'll get to on Spoiler Street.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That actually took us by surprise. And actually, because we're such experts in Dolly Parton from listening to Dolly Parton's America, makes sense in, like, the long history of songs she's written. And that was a surprising plot to me, actually. And I thought a very good one. But I just, like, I think... Given what an amazing songwriter Dolly Parton is, and I think we need to probably re-listen to some of the music, none of the music really like got in my head, except for Wicked Witch of the Middle, which isn't even a good song.
Yeah,
I can't remember any of the songs.
No
now.
Real bangers. Although
we watched it last night, so we were singing some of them last night.
Some of them do. Although you said the same about The Greatest Showman when you walked out of that.
And
song.
Then
you'll never live that
a
down.
A year later was still singing the songs.
Yeah. So
it's no Greatest Showman though.
Some of the tracks were good, and in the moment they got me, and they felt like Dolly tunes. Even when sung by other people.
The ones that most felt like Dolly tunes, though, were the ones she kept for herself. She obviously kept herself the best songs, which,
yeah.
Fair play, I would too.
But I agree with you. There's not like... It's not like when you first... Sometimes you hear a song and it's like, wow. It's like, there was no wow moments. Do you know what? Funnily enough, the last time I had a wow moment while hearing a song for the first time is still that Eurovision movie with Rachel McAdams and Will Ferrell, where she... almost every song, in fact, that happened there, that was just
memorable.
The one
she sang about her hometown.
Yeah, and I tell you, that movie did not get well reviewed, but I'll go back and revisit that and those songs, and I have done regularly. I think that's just awesome.
Are you going to sing us one?
No. but will we go to Spoiler Street maybe on this one?
I think so.
Have you got anything else to say? I will say that what was interesting, because I'm quite religious institutions, I'll say. I'm not anti-religion and respect people's faith, but personally I'm not into any of that. And when it got really Christian early on and stayed at that level for the rest of the movie, I did feel a bit like, oh god, here we go. And then I kind of had just checked myself and reined myself in, because I'm like, do you know what, I actually just kind of forgot Christmas is actually a religious holiday.
Is it, Dave?
It's been kind of commandeered or forgotten about by commercialism or commodified, yeah. But it's like, do you know what? Let Christians have Christmas and have their big Dolly Parton
movie.
That's
so nice of you, and benevolent of you.
Do you know, I was filled with Christmas spirit.
Well, to be honest,
I said,
watching,
you can have your holiday.
Watching that church, aside from the fact that the priest looks like an extra from a soap opera and delivers his lines very strangely.
He speaks very slowly.
I would go to that church. He's so nice. They're so welcoming. They do dance numbers all the time up and down the aisle.
I think it's
all
just like that
thing.
in middle America, as far as I know.
I would go to that church 100%.
It was a lot more vibrant than Catholic mass on a Sunday when we were growing up in Ireland in the 80s and 90s, let me tell you.
Yeah, singing was not like that.
And you weren't allowed to just stand up in the middle of the thing and say, "Down with Regina!" She's robbing it. Like, you weren't allowed to bring town issues to mass.
Yeah, I really enjoyed, like, the whole town's efforts to mobilise against Regina, which is them all going to church and bitching and singing Wicked Witch of the Middle.
Yeah.
It's like, lads, you're not being very productive here. Okay,
right.
I really want to go to spoilers, though, because I want to, like, talk about some of the most ludicrous plot points, because there were many. But if you haven't seen it, go off and watch it, eat some mince pies.
You do have to be in the right mood to watch this.
You definitely have to be in the right mood.
God help us.
For sure. And I definitely think it's a nice family movie too, like, to watch with older kids, for sure.
Right. So, spoilers now for Dolly Parton's Middle America Christmas Square.
Yeah.
Spectacular.
Uh-huh.
Is that the name of it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Firstly, like, on opening, when the movie started, I was immediately disappointed by the audio. Just sounded like really cheap, like done on a soundstage, shot in a studio.
It was literally on a sound, like, yeah, the square does not look like it's outdoors.
No, and it just, I thought they really missed the mark on the audio. If you're gonna have a star of Dolly's caliber and, like, make it all about the music, they didn't capture that at all. The first kind
I
of
thought
music,
it was fine, but do you mean, yeah, yeah, I'll agree with you that the production values
cheap,
in,
like,
general are very what traditionally would have been described as TV quality.
Yeah, for sure.
But at this, you know, in this era, particularly from a Netflix original, we do have, you do expect a certain standard. I mean, we watched The Queen's Gambit right after this, and it was just like, that thing looks
insane.
Gorgeous.
Now, I guess because this is adapted to a play, from a play, they're keeping it a bit like that. But there was a really good line when Christine Bransky comes in and goes, "This isn't wonderful, and your name's not George Bailey." And she's like,
there were a couple of It's a Wonderful Life references in there,
yeah,
there?
Of course. And obviously,
and they're in a bank, of course, at the time,
of course. And basically, it's like Christine Bransky
has your money.
She's got serious issues with her dad. We're going to find out why later. And she's kind of decided to sell the whole town almost as an act of rebellion against her dad. But we were like, okay, appreciate her dad might have done something bad, but, like, again, can she just sell, like, the mansion she lives in? Like, what they never clearly defined was, does Christine Bransky just love money? Because they didn't make her villainous enough to me. She was not as villainous as a Scrooge. It never really added up why she was trying to, because she's saying, you know, are better off without this town, it's no good. But then she's like, oh, you've 24 hour notice to move out and it's Christmas Eve. It's like, I just didn't buy that she was evil enough for that.
I mean, I agree, it's not quite enough. But the way I read it was, she was betrayed by her father. That was her perspective, who took her baby from her, and this was his baby, and it's all of that is wrapped up in painful memories for her. The town is literally
a painful memory.
So she's getting rid of it.
The notice period that she's given.
I mean, that's stupid. Yeah,
yeah, that was stupid. But yeah, the plot. So basically, we find out that because her and Carl, her supposed ex, have this moment where he's like, "I still think about that night." And we were like, oh, shit went down. So we were like, oh, Christine Bransky and Carl, like, obviously did it. And it must have been maybe about 10 years ago, the way he's talking about it. And they had this one incredible night of passion. And then it wasn't to be. No, they're talking about their high school prom. As in, you're talking about people in their 60s here. And they're talking about when they were 17. And Carl seemingly has never been with another woman since.
17.
And then when we finally find out the night of the prom, they didn't even get together. She saw Carl with a ring, showing another girl the ring. Clearly, it was meant for her, and it was a classical mistake. And then she danced with this other guy, ended up sleeping with him, and then
I never buy those mix-ups. Like, if you and me were, like, dating, going steady, right? and then we've agreed to meet up. Everything's going great. See you at the dance, and then you're just showing a ring, like, whatever. You're showing
a
ring to somebody else. I'd be like, shit, she's obviously just proposed to that guy and they've been seeing each other the whole time. That's the only rational explanation here.
Yeah, but she is a teenager, a hot-headed teenager. But basically, she's then like, oh, I slept with that guy and then I got pregnant and then my dad forced me to give away my baby. And with, like, that was when I was, like, really surprised by the turn the movie took.
Then the baby grew up to have the same evil goatee that the father had.
It did. But that was when we were listening to that study of Dolly Parton during the summer. Like, a huge theme in a lot of her music is, like, wrongs done to women by men, and specifically women who are shamed by being pregnant. Like one of her songs, The Bridge, is about a young teenager who gets pregnant and ends up like really tragically jumping off a bridge. And she has it, it's like a theme in loads of her work. And I was like really impressed that she brought that into this movie. And in light of all the stuff currently going on in Ireland with like, you know, all the mother and baby homes and all the scandal around that, like that really resonated with me. And I got really upset actually when I watched that scene. Like, also have had a baby this year, and just watching that scene, I thought it was really emotional. I thought Christine Bransky did a brilliant job of it, and it went some way to explain, like, it humanized her, and she's not just, you know, this evil villain. But then we were like, right, who, someone in the town is obviously her child, because they wouldn't just spring a new child
on kind
us.
Of movie.
So we're like, so it has to be either the Reverend or his wife. Or
yeah, because at this stage of the movie, we were like deep into who is Christine Baranski's child, and it had to be the Reverend or the wife, because why else are they in this movie? They're pointless.
No, because we came up with a way better theory as to who her child should have been. Well, yeah. I did specifically. So there's, I mentioned theory. The little Tiny Tim character, right, who was like the sweetest little girl ever, who like weirdly is a bartender, and she serves.
And they
Christine.
Do a great track together. The fairy tale bit yeah. was good. That was a great scene.
But actually, we must re-listen to that song, because when watching the movie, those two singing together, I thought this is the best song in the movie by far. And they had really good chemistry. And the little girl is so cute. And then she says to Christine Baranski, "The Wicked Witch of the Middle," i.e. Christine Baranski, but the little girl doesn't know it, "killed my mom." And Christine Baranski's like, "Huh?" And she goes, "Because you see, the pharmacist was 3 days behind on his rent. So the Wicked Witch made him close down the pharmacy." Which makes no economic sense, because how long would it take you to get a new tenant? You're better off letting your tenant be a few days behind in their rent than kicking them out. Anyway, and then I got a fever, and then my mum drove 20 miles to get me some Calpol, and then my mum was in a car crash, and now my mom's dead. And Christine Brinkman, she's like, holy shit. Like, she feels really bad about that. And then she leaves, and she goes, could it be true that I changed the course of someone's life? It's like, what, you mean when you evict people from their homes and businesses?
Yeah, she's like, she's just realised the impact yeah, like of evicting just, people on a whim has on them.
Anyway, I was like to Dave, oh my God, that girl's mom has to be Christine Bransky's kid, because then she'll have to live with the knowledge that through her own misdeeds she actually murdered her own daughter, but she can reconnect with her granddaughter.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes!
How good is that? It's awesome. But that's not it, because it's just Pastor Christian at the end. But yeah, Kat,
Pastor,
I was
Pastor,
as soon as you said
Christian.
That, I was like, that is amazing, and would have been a way better,
it would have been amazing
and more interesting
but
plot
kind
development.
Of fucked up as well that she murdered her own daughter.
Let's talk about the other plot twist, because the Pastor Christian thing is bullshit.
Wait, there's another plot twist. Also, no, sorry, but on the 23rd of December, the entire town is in the church being like, burn the witch, put her on a whatever, making a joke about a witch's twitch. And then the next day, Pastor Christian stands up at the top of the altar and he goes, "I found out today that I have met my adopted mother." And then Christine Bransky walks in, fully dressed in white, like she's a bride walking up the aisle.
Yeah, and she's reborn.
And someone walks her up the aisle. I was like, what is this? And why aren't you all unpacking? Because you were all supposed to be evicted right now. So instead of like the
Do
eviction.
You mean packing?
Packing.
They were packing. We saw Carl packing up his shop.
But the eviction plot went nowhere. Like, they were like, oh, you're going to be evicted this march around the town. Next day, you're all supposed to be leaving. Well, they're all just hanging around the church.
Yeah, you gotta go to you gotta go to Christmas Eve service, Kathy.
I just felt like the eviction plot was like the big like call to action at the start of the movie, and then it just completely fizzled out and went nowhere. And then they were all like, "Yay, you saved us!" And it's like, she's the cause of your destruction, and now because she's telling you that you don't all have to move out, you're all cheering her. Like, I don't think she deserves that.
She's gaslighting the entire town.
She is. I'm sorry, part of the plot. Were
it's
you
an
gonna...
abusive relationship.
It is.
The other thing I was going to talk about is the reveal that Christine Baranski's assistant is an angel and is her guardian angel.
Is that a plot twist?
Well, I mean, it took me by surprise.
Yeah, to be fair, it did take me by surprise as well.
But yeah, I have nothing more to say about that. Really.
Oh,
but
you just actually, wanted to
that,
mention it.
That actress was really enjoyable as well.
She's from Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, she was giving it socks.
She was really good, and I did enjoy then like her and Dolly's little side plot of like going through the angel rules and stuff. Yeah. I would have liked to see more of that. Like, I feel like this could be a regular series where like Dolly shows up as an angel in different people's life, much like Touched by an Angel, that classic 90s TV show.
Yes, classic, loosely defined classic. Yeah, and there was a lot of like bits of like Dolly just like looking up, frustrated, looking up to heaven and going, "Oh Lord."
Or people would say, "Good heavens."
Give and they strength, Lord.
They go, "Good heavens." And she go, "They are good." I did enjoy when Christine Bransky like thought she had a brain tumour and she's like, "I didn't know brain tumour hallucinations could be so tacky and covered in rhinestone." And like, Dolly does love that image for herself and like, she's really pushing it up. And like, when you think like, Dolly grew up in like the 50s, 60s America, in a time where you would have had all those like musical song and dance films and stuff, like it feels very true to her, I think.
Yeah.
It was interesting watching it because only last year or the year before I watched 9 to 5, which Dolly's amazing in, and I was like, she's essentially giving the same performance. She just is Dolly Parton.
Yeah, she's not. She's too big to play another role.
She can't play anything but Dolly.
She just is herself on screen.
But why not if you're that cool?
There's one thing which really disturbed me. I cannot stop thinking about in this whole movie, right? So there's a whole plot for anyone who's listening to this and didn't want to watch it, and massive respect to you. There's a whole plot where the pastor and his wife are trying to have children and can't, and are sort of, you know, having musical numbers about infertility. And then Dolly at one stage towards the end of the film just kind of goes around granting people's wishes and sprinkling fairy dust on them.
On a cloud.
And she's like sitting on a cloud, sitting on a CG cloud outside this woman's window as she packs up her things preparing to be evicted.
By the way, the woman who's being evicted is the pastor's wife, and what she's packing up is a baby clothes shop.
Could not be more on the nose.
Yeah.
And just smiling and looking forlornly at things.
And the pastor did a whole number about IVF.
And then CG Cloud Dolly just sprinkles her pixie dust through the window, and it just like you watch a trail of it like going like onto her womb and then become all. And so essentially it's like what we're led to believe is that she
Immaculate
just
conception.
Got inseminated by an angel.
No, it's called Immaculate Conception, Dave, and it's like the fundamental of Christmas.
So I want to see. Yeah, so basically, the second coming of Christ is here, guys, in the sequel to Christmas Square.
Are we to believe that Christian's seed was just waiting to be fertilized in there, or is Dolly putting in new, like, Christ seed?
I think it's the latter. I think this is the coming of the next Messiah. That's what I am led to believe.
Okay, I think so.
Yeah.
And I actually have to say,
anyway, it was creepy AF. Anyway, either way,
it was very creepy. But also, what I found really weird about Christian and his wife is like, he's literally just found out that his mom's Christine Bransky. But of course, we've no backstory to him. Like, we don't know if he grew up in a loving home. Like, who were his adoptive parents? None of that was mentioned. But he straight away, him and his wife were like, "Oh yay, we're so happy," even though they hated her a minute ago.
Yeah,
and then they're like,
less than 24 hours ago, you were casually laughing about her being violently beaten up.
But then in song, they kind of say, "Oh, it's so nice to have a mother." But then the wife goes, "Even better to have a grandmother." I'm like, you don't know you're
pregnant. How does she know? She doesn't know. She felt the angel. She felt Dolly impregnate her.
Yeah, I was wondering if they were going to do that classical movie thing of like when someone finds out they're pregnant, it's because they like run off to get sick in the toilet, but they didn't do that.
Maybe the town doctor sent her an urgent text all in caps saying "call me," which is how he likes to deliver test result news.
Also,
if your doctor sent you that text, I'd be freaking out.
And he goes, "There's a shadow on your brain scan, Christine Bransky. So I think we need to do another scan in the hospital." I'm like, "Oh, so you did the first one in your GP surgery, did you? You got brain scanning equipment." And also, this hospital looks like a piece of shit.
Swan, Cathy, he's coming right at us.
Oh, you know when that little girl, the little tiny teen girl, ends up in a car accident? That was really upsetting because her dad sang an absolutely wonderful song.
Yeah, he was a good actor.
He was incredible.
And a good singer.
He was crying and singing as we were. And then Christine Bransky goes, "Call me the best pediatric brain surgery in the country." Like, pediatric brain surgery is like very specific. No, someone arrives within minutes. I was 100 miles away.
Well, children famously have very different brains.
maybe that is the thing. Yeah. But like the fact that someone could come so quickly and they're only 100 miles away was hilarious as well.
Well, she said like helicopter her over there. I don't care what it takes. But
then Dolly kind of implied that she had arranged for the child to be in a car crash to teach Christine Baranski a lesson, which I thought was dark.
But actually, didn't that just feel like a terrible reminder of the state of the US healthcare system? That basically your child is only going to get saved.
Yeah, but Dave, I'm surprised this town has a hospital. Like, it's a population of 100 people.
Also, it's...
Most towns don't have hospitals.
Well, that's true.
But also, anyway, who needs a hospital when your GP surgery has brain scanning machines?
Is she shutting down the hospital as well? Did they get an eviction notice?
I think so.
It's like, God, see ya. Turn off all those machines by Christmas Eve, please.
I've got a buggy.
I need my hospital back.
A buggy so encased in mud now I can't push it anymore.
Also, but like, also that, do you know that was a complete waste of everyone's time? Like, why did she bother? Why did she bother calling the best pediatric brain surgeon in the country and helicoptering her over when all it took to cure her was some pixie dust from Dolly the Angel? The same pixie dust that can inseminate people through windows.
And I think that was the other reason I was like, that girl has to end up being her grandchild, because that girl and her dad had that really sad plot as well. So like, they were the stars of the film.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. That would have been way more emotionally satisfying.
Anyway,
do you reckon we can keep talking about this for another hour?
I honestly could talk about this movie forever. But it's really cold and the buggy is stuck in mud. So we need to go. But I hope everyone enjoyed it. Let us know what you think.
Would you watch it again every Christmas? I don't think I would.
That's what I was thinking. Like, is it a Christmas classic?
It doesn't feel very Christmassy, I gotta say. It's set at Christmas, but there's not a lot of... Yeah, I guess it's all about forgiveness and it's got the Scrooge Christmas Carol vibes, but I'm not like...
Well, this is Dolly's big thing.
It's overtly Christmassy, really, is it?
Dolly's, like, fundamental thing is about forgiveness. And, like, she is really wonderful, like, because the man that she worked for a long time, he kind of launched her career. I've forgotten his name now. They used to be on TV together. Do you remember his name?
No.
Anyway... He like kind of was trying to like claim ownership over her and like rights to her music and like really wasn't letting her go out of her contract, and she wrote I Will Always Love You and just left the show. So she wrote that song about him, which is like obviously one of the best songs ever written. And like he spent years like suing her, and she ended up having to pay him out millions of dollars, and he treated her so badly. And in the end, like on his deathbed, she like went and sat with him and was like, I forgive you. And then his family were in a lot of debt, and she like paid them out all the debt. Like, she did everything she could for this family, because she's like, while he treated me badly, you know, I would never have gotten to where I was without him, and I just believe in forgiveness and I don't harbour ill will to anyone. And I just like, oh, that was so classic Dolly. And that's why, like, I love that one of the themes of this movie is that while Christine Baranski's father did a terrible thing to her, Dolly Parton's trying to say to her, if you can't forgive him, you'll never be able to like love yourself and forgive yourself. And he thought, albeit it was terribly misguided and cruel and shocking, he did think at the time that he was helping you by taking the baby away. And that's really dark. But I really enjoyed the message of like, if you can't forgive him, how can you like forgive yourself and love yourself? And I just thought it was so Dolly to me. And I do think that maybe by next Christmas again, I'll be in a certain mood and wanting to watch it. So I think I could watch it again. I wouldn't be, top of my list.
Those are the sort of basic tenets of Christianity as well. So it all kind of does link together. And also she does, Dolly is kind of treated with a sort of reverence that, like, almost like a religious icon
by a lot of people, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, look, ultimately...
I mean,
this
Dolly
is...
just invested in the company that has produced the coronavirus vaccine.
I know, yeah.
Like, this is who we're talking about. Like,
well, produced one of them. You get this. There's loads of them now.
Well,
Oxford just made one. And
the one she invested in...
And it was 70% effective and everyone's given out.
Well, the one she invested in was 94% effective, right? So Dolly is an angel. She also just donated, like, loads and loads of books to Children of Cork randomly. Like, she runs schools in the United States.
Children of Cork.
Children, where we're from, Cork. She's donating books to them.
Of course.
Like, she just does everything. So anyway,
this movie is kind of bad and tacky, but kind of great and enjoyable, and ultimately is a force for good.
And
everyone should watch it.
I think we need to go re-listen to the soundtrack now and try and remember any of the songs.
Right.
Dolly, you could have done better on the music, I'm sorry. But I forgive you because I love you.
If you like this movie... And then message us at The Cinemile at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Also, if you don't like it.
If you don't like it, yeah, whatever. Just talk to us. Or email us thecinemile@gmail.com. And leave us a review if you enjoyed this, and subscribe and all this wherever you're listening to podcasts. And if you want more of these kind of things, we are watching retro movies and TV shows and all sorts of things over on our Patreon bonus podcast called The Cinemile High Club at patreon.com/The Cinemile. We just watched Air Force One.
Harrison Ford.
In honor of American presidents everywhere.
And we are in the middle of watching The Queen's Gambit, which we'll very quickly do a review on. And if you sign up before the end of November, all proceeds from our December contributions will go to Action for Children, which is a wonderful charity here in the UK who do loads of amazing things for children, unlike Christine Bransky.
Yeah, the Wicked Witch of the Middle.
Yeah, okay, bye.
Bye.
Let this fire of love burn bright, drive the shadows from the night, fan the flames with all your might, light your lamp and spread the light.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
What would you say if I told you there's a book that can teach you how to win The Bachelor?
What would you say if I told you producers caught multiple finalists reading that book in this season that's currently airing?
What would you say if I told you the producers don't want anyone to know that their show has been compromised?
How do we know all this? We wrote that book.
I'm Lizzie Pace.
And I'm Chad Colchin.
We're the authors of How to Win the Bachelor and the hosts of the Game of Roses podcast, a bi-weekly podcast where we break down all the biggest plays, errors, and MVPs in the game of reality television.
Listen to Game of Roses wherever you get your podcasts and go to howtowinthebachelor.com to get our book.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.